What a prayer. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, however you want to, wherever you want to plant me. I will make room for you. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and God had given him a special vision twice that his mom and dad and brothers will at some day bow down before him. Now, you can understand his prayer. Oh, God, do whatever you want to. Do this. Get this. This is going to be fantastic, as he's probably late teens, early 20s. This is going to be fantastic. And what God did was he allowed his brothers to sell him in Egypt as a slave. Now, that doesn't sound very kind of God, does it? When we think of God's kindness, we think, well, he's just going to do everything good for me. And it winds up good. But basically, what he did was he planted Joseph. It's one of those J words. Planted Joseph in Egypt. The Greek word in the New Testament for scattered. Now, you'll see that through there, that God scattered the church everywhere. Really, what that means is that he planted them. He planted them. So Joseph was now sold into slavery to Potiphar's household. Genesis 39, 2 and 3, the Lord was with Joseph, even in Egypt. Did you notice that? It'd be easy to say that he was with him in the land of Canaan, but he was with him in Egypt. God has no territories, guys. There's no place he can't go, nothing he can't do. So that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became an attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. That phrase, Potiphar saw that God was with him, really what that means in the ancient Hebrew is the name of God was always on Joseph's lips. Always on Joseph's lips. Joseph was in a constant state of prayer. God, I'm in this foreign country. I don't know what's going on here, but I trust you. God, you are kind to me to put me in slavery in Potiphar's household. Thank you, dear God. Every act he performed was performed in the name of God for the glory of God. He is interested in Potiphar and the household, identifying who the God is that he serves. And Joseph desired all around him to be able to see and find this awesome God he served. That's marvelous. In slavery, it was just great. Despite being a slave. Now, the rest of Joseph's story is that Potiphar's house, the only thing Joseph couldn't touch, accused him of attempting to rape him, and Potiphar, because of that, had to throw him into a prison. He was forgotten about in prison, but the same thing happened in prison. He was over the control of some of the things in prison. But he kept his strong moral compass. He treasured his master's trust with respect by managing his household with care. Why could Potiphar see Joseph's kindness? How could he see that? Because he honored his master. Even though it was a slave master, he honored him. He respected him. He worked to the best of his ability. Joseph's kindness was most evident in his interaction with his brothers. Joseph was elevated to second in position, in authority in Egypt. And now his brothers are before him wanting grain. And they don't know who he is. And Joseph, once again, is going to show his kindness. When he revealed himself, they were scared spitless, guys. Here is a guy that, Joseph, that had all the authority to say, throw him in prison and forget about him. Don't want to have anything to do with him. These were the ones who sold him into captivity. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? What did he mean? See, he has gotten himself in the place we understood that God had planted him in Egypt, and that purpose was to save his family. He didn't know that during the time. am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Literally in the Hebrew, that means he spoke to their heart. How could Joseph do this? Because he knew God's kindness. And he knew he was to reflect God's kindness. You intended to harm me. We're not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to go, oh, everything's fine and hunky-dory. That's okay. That doesn't matter. No, you intended to harm me. But God took your intent and brought something good out of it. The miracle in Joseph's life scared his brothers. They're eating, and it's kind of funny when you look at it because they're seated in order by age, and they're going, what's this about? How does he know this? But the miracle of what happened to Joseph scared his brothers. Joseph's authority scared his brothers. But it was Joseph's kindness that allowed them to face their sinful past. It was Joseph's kindness that allowed them to seek the forgiveness from Joseph. It's the same way that it works today, guys. If you want those around you to see your God, it must run through your kindness. You can scream at them all you want. You can stand on the corner. Saw this in New York City. Some lady standing in the New York City shouting God's word, but you can imagine what it was. It was a hellfire and brimstone one. No one was paying attention. But if you truly want them to see your God, if you truly want them to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, it flows through your kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, we've been looking at God's love. God's love is patient. We found that that was long-suffering is what that word means. But love is also kind. God's kind of love. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. Love suffers long and is kind. Psalms 103, verse 8 out of the Amplified, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in compassion and loving kindness. If you ask most of the people in the world about the God of Scriptures, they will not come to that. He's a God of judgment, a God of wrath and all of this. No, he's a God slow to anger. That's the patient side. And abounding in compassion and loving kindness. Titus 3, 4 through 8 says it like this. But when the goodness and the loving kindness. Now, there is no single word in English for God's kind of love. It's called agape in the New Testament. It's called hesed in the Old Testament. There's no English word that properly defines that. You've got to look at the character of God to be able to do that. And the closest they get here is loving kindness. Not a kind act, but an act that is out of your love. A loving kindness of our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we might now have become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It was God's kindness that allowed you to see His salvation. God's loving kindness is our Heavenly Father's hallmark. Hallmark. It's a word we don't use very often. It's a stamp of an article of gold, silver, or platinum in Britain, certifying the purity. If you watch some of the shows where they bring the old stuff in to be identified, they will look for a certain mark. All right, that's from the house of such and such. We can understand this is a good one. This is a true one. God is kind even if we don't deserve it. His kindness isn't a reward for our behavior. That's His nature. He is kind. And it's a cause for our repentance. We find in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, His forbearance? We looked at that as patience, self-control, restraint, and tolerance. And patient, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. His kindness. God's kindness isn't passive tolerance, but an active pursuit. He comes after you. He grabs you. He pulls you in. Jesus said it like this. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, the one wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for that one that has wandered off? He pursues that. God is always there to listen and care and accept us in our brokenness. For some reason, we think that we have to come to Him in our perfection. Folks, there is no way any of us are perfect. We come to Him in our brokenness. We come to Him in our need. We come to Him in our hopelessness, if you will. This divine kindness, look what it does, creates a space where we are not just tolerated, but cherished. Not barely accepted, but deeply loved. It might surprise you how many Christians believe that God loves them, sort of. He's got to do it because He says He's going to, but I'm so low on the totem pole of who God wants that He just barely loves me. No, it is a space where you are cherished and deeply loved. But folks, divine mercy, His kindness is not cheap. The kindness we enjoy today was paved over by the suffering on the cross by God's Son, Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, now sits at the right hand of the Father. He came at just the right time so that we could see God in flesh, so that He could become our Savior by on the cross receiving the penalty of our sinfulness. And now God is justified to forgive us and cleanse us of all sin. Why? Because we're good? No, because Jesus is good. Romans 5, 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless. When we were still what?
Powerless.
We're going to do that again. When we were still what?
Powerless.
Okay. He had nothing to offer Him. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's kindness has rested upon each one of us. It's His hallmark. But God's loving kindness towards us becomes both our motivation and our model. God's kindness is proactive. He comes and searches us. He seeks us. The Spirit draws us in. It is undeserved and sacrificial love. It provides. It protects. And its purpose is to redeem even while we are turning away from Him. The purpose of God's love is to draw you close to Him. See it for what it really is. Is. He's drawing you close to His heart. It goes beyond mere politeness. Don't say that God's love is being nice. Nice just means we do things. But kindness flows from the heart of God. It is His character. It is to be our character as well. This unwavering, merciful, and at times firm love serves as the ultimate model for human kindness. There are times that God needs to give us truth. You're a sinner. If you continue to go in this direction and do not turn and accept the salvation, you will not like the next life. This is going on. You ever have that in your life where you're going along and all of a sudden God says, stop. Don't do that. But God, I think it would be fun. Stop. That's God's loving kindness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be tender-hearted to those you come in contact with. No judging them for worth. Be tender-hearted. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be us. Notice the pattern. God's divine kindness towards us precedes our kindness towards others. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. We as Christians are to be in this world and be kind. The kindness that God has. The long-suffering that God has. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anybody that comes to you and apologizes for hurting your feelings. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No. Do not bear a grudge against anyone who comes to you and slanders you. Yes? That doesn't say that. Against anyone. You lay that in God's hands. We find this illustrated in Luke chapter 10. The religious leaders were asking Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Who do I do good things for? So Jesus told the parable. A man, in the context here means that it's probably a Jewish man, was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So he's this half dead guy laying on the side of the road. A priest, somebody who works in the temple, happened to be going by the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. I don't want to be involved. A Levite, when he came to the place, saw him and passed on the other side. In other words, two church people saw him and did nothing. That's what happened. They knew what the word was. But a Samaritan. Jews hated Samaria. They called them dogs. They were half Jews. Hated them. They would not, a religious person would not even go through Samaria area. They would go around it the long way. They wanted nothing to do with it. So you got two church people who ignored it, but here's this one who they didn't like. When he saw the man, he took pity on him. He didn't say, well, that's a Jew, they don't like me, so I'm just going on. Gets what he gets. He went to him and bandaged his wounds. Folks, he got his hands dirty. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. No reason for him to do that. Absolutely none. Jesus said, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. This is how we are to live in this world. It's so easy to judge and say, well, that's just what they get for having that addiction, or that's what they get for making this decision, or if whatever. We judge that person. And what we are to do is we are to minister to them in kindness. That does not mean we don't give them hard truth at times. That does not mean that we do not give them the hard truth of God's word. But it's always to draw them to the tenderness of God. We don't create this kind of kindness by self-determined willpower. It comes as a fruit of the Spirit. When we are born again, the Spirit of God comes to live within us, and it brings certain fruit, if you will, to it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You don't need a law for that. You just go do it. Don't have to ask permission to do it. There is no. It comes from being under the guidance and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We are to reflect the kindness we received from Christ. As Christ looked at us in our sinfulness, in our rebellion, in our rejection of Him, He said this, I want them. And He began to draw us to Him. We also are to draw people to Christ with our kindness. The more deeply you grasp the Lord's undeserved kindness towards you, the more naturally kindness will flow from you to others. Let it flow through what God has given you to others. See, there is a power in God's kind of love and kindness. God's love is kind. It is not occasionally. Occasionally I'm kind. No, it's a lifestyle. It is not selectively. I will be kind to that person and that person or that person over there. No one else. It is not when it's convenient. I will get to it later. Do you know how many things I've got to do at home that I said I will get to later? Yeah. Yeah. I'll get to it later. Kindness is love's constant posture. That word posture just means an attitude or approach. I'm here to do God's work through His kindness, using His words and His power. It honors others. It creates a safety place for that they can feel safe enough to share the hurts and cares of their life, knowing that you're not going to judge them, you're not going to talk about them, but you're going to give them and show them God's love through your kindness. It offers respect without prerequisites. I'll respect you if you do this. If you do that, if you live like this, if you haven't put that in your life, I will respect you. God's kind of kindness doesn't do that. It doesn't accept with agendas. I accept you as a person. We have a place here that is open and safe for you, but only if you will do such and such. If you'll go to church every day, every week for 4 weeks in a row, then I'll talk to you. No. We are kind. Now, this is radically different than what the world is built on. Their love and kindness is built on earning it. It's built on proving that you're keeping your word. It's built on performance. Kindness says, God's kind of kindness says, you are valuable simply because you exist. And you're here. And God has placed you in front of me. You are valuable to Him. You matter because God made you. And He loves you like you cannot believe. He loved you so much that He sent His only Son for the purpose that whosoever believes in Him should not perish eternally but have everlasting life. That's God's kind of love. You are safe here. You are safe. May we let our eyes speak kindness before our mouth and hands attempt to. Let them see Him in your eyes before you attempt to show kindness any other way. Create an atmosphere where people drop their defenses and discover acceptance. Does not mean you approve of the sin in their life. Does not mean that you approve of the decision. But there's an acceptance there that allows them to, for the Spirit of God to grab a hold of their heart and say, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe there's hope. Pursue others with the same kindness the Spirit showed you. Love is kind, leading to repentance and healing. Micah 6, verse 8, one of the last scriptures of the Old Testament. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Mark Twain says, keep the language, kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. God's kind of kindness is not a random act here or there, but a radical life flowing from a changed heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a lifestyle. Do you get it quick? No. But the Spirit of God will take you there. Kindness is the will to do good that springs from the pain of sharing our own misery, while at the same time looking up to Christ's kindness on the cross. When you look at the cross of Jesus with Him still on it, I want you to see kindness. God's judgment that should be ours fell upon Jesus. How could we not be kind to others? Victor Cruz has a church. And he was in his office, and one day a man came in. And he told me about how he had been really angry with somebody. Spitting angry is what he said. He explained to me what had happened between him and that person and about all the damage that had been done to him and that person and his family. But in the end of the talk, the man says, I really want to hate that person for all the wrong he has done to me. But God, like this, but God ruins my desire to hate him. Every time I think about vengeance, it comes to my mind that God probably loves that person as he loves me. And then my rage changes. And I pray for him. I want to be kind to him when I really want to be mad to him, even when it really hurts me. God's kindness leads to a repentant heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that you are kind to me. And it's in your kindness that we begin to see your true love. How precious you are to us. How precious is your forgiveness to us. How precious is your presence with us, to us. And Lord, I know there's people here that are hurting deeply today. Answers that they don't have. Hurts that Father, just don't seem to go away. Cares that there may not appear to be answers to. And Lord, you desire to be kind to them and lead them. Father, I pray you open up your altars. I pray, dear God, that you and you alone will be blessed now for your glory alone. Amen.